Hi there, everybody. Welcome to Brother Hebert Presents.
Grammatical Deception.
This paper and study is a compilation of notes taken from articles and videos. Most of the notes are quoted from Romley Stewart. There are a few bits of information from Cobus of South Africa and other sources, and scriptural references and commentary have been added by Brother Hebert to show the direct connection in which this grammatical deception is the modus of operandi of the literal children of the devil. This paper was inspired by the truth and the fraud which Romley has exposed, and the fact that this deception only proves that the Bible is true, and that the enemies of our race want to do nothing but corrupt, destroy, usurp, and enslave us, just as prophesied in Genesis 3:15. I am not a lawyer, familiar with law, or even properly educated in grammar because I was taught in the Jewish-run education system. The depth of information between law and grammar is vast, and my understanding of it all is next to nothing. What I do understand is that this information is real, legal, and in place. The system is running on deception in every aspect. We are corporations. We have strayed from the way, and we have put our trust in the world system and keep it going. We are in a Jewish matrix of deceit. We have all been grammatically deceived to continue this deception, to continue being born into slavery, to continue giving up our heritage, and continue taking from the tree of good and evil. Some of you who are familiar with law and grammar will understand all this and even be wowed. Most of you might find this information uninteresting, boring, or even pointless. No problem. There's not much we can do about this situation we are in, this legal slavery condition, this dead corporation status we are in. But I believe we should be aware of the world around us, and any information we can gain will help us to come up out of her as much as possible. Knowledge is wisdom, and when we seek wisdom, Yahweh will preserve us and protect us while we are trapped in this system. This information is getting out there, and people are finding ways to fight the system with success. I believe this paper will help people wet their beaks on what this dog Latin is, and the references and links I have provided will further your understanding, and eventually one of these guys will present an easy step-by-step guide on how to claim back your name, your life, your liberty. Cobus of the House of Hinsbeek, the South African from the videos on the Glossa channel on YouTube, has said he has a live life claim in which you can reclaim and identify your name. There are references and links throughout this paper. You may right-click your mouse and choose Open in New Tab when you use the hyperlink references. I recommend reading or listening to this whole paper first to get wet with the magnitude of info. Then go back and see the references and links. This is really a study, and if you want to learn some really neat stuff, then you have to put in the time to examine it. If you are a true Christian with the correct understanding of Scripture, and know who you are, and who the enemy is, then you will understand how the whole world system has been manipulated by something as simple as grammatical deception. Let's begin. Before you can detect the lie, you have to know the truth. If you don't know the truth, you won't be able to see the lie. When you can see the truth, you will have the ability to see the lie. Romley Stewart. If you continue or stay in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yeshua, John 8:31-32. The planet has been under military occupation since 1933. You are a slave because since 1933, upon a new child being born, the executors, or administrators, of the higher estate willingly and knowingly convey the beneficial entitlements of the child as beneficiary into the first Sestaki V Trust in the form of a registry number by registering the name, thereby also creating the corporate person and denying the child any rights as an owner of real property. This live birth record as a promissory note is converted into a slave bond sold to the private reserve bank of the estate and then conveyed into a second and separate Sestaki V Trust per child owned by the bank. You are a slave because since 1540 and the creation of the first Sestaki V Act, deriving its power from the papal bull of Roman cult leader Pope Paul III of the same year, whenever a child is baptized and a baptismal certificate is issued by the state or church at birth, the parents have knowingly or unknowingly gifted, granted, and conveyed the soul of the baby to a third Sestaki V Trust owner by Roman cult, who has held this valuable property in its vaults ever since, managed by the Temple Bar since 1540, and subsequent bar associations from the 19th century, representing the reconstituted Gala, responsible as Grim Reapers for reaping the souls, or salvage, also known as Salvation of Souls. What is the Sestaki V Act of 1666? A Sestaki V Trust is a fictional concept. It is a temporary testamentary trust, first created during the reign of Henry VIII of England through the Sestaki V Act of 1540 and updated by Charles II through the Sestaki V Act of 1666. Wherein an estate may be affected for the benefit of a person presumed lost or abandoned at sea, and therefore assumed dead after 7 years. Section 4 of Sestaki V. If the supposed dead man proves to be alive, then the title is revested. Action for mean profits with interest. These assets in trust all the time that were held in trust are me and you, our bodies, our corpses. Our corporate entity has been held in trust as a bonded surety against the currency in the system being printed, so we are collateral against the money that we spend over time, which we are the capital, and they traded upon our bodies and converted the energy into money that they profited from. They did stuff with the money without telling us about it, and traded upon our trust accounts. The profits that they made from those accounts should have been coming to us the whole time as shareholders of the global estate. We consented to a parasite that sucks us dry. How did this happen? London, 1666. During the Black Plague and fires of London, Parliament enacted an act behind closed doors called Sestaki V Act, 1666. The act being debated was to subrogate the rights of men and women, meaning all men and women were declared dead, lost at sea, or lost beyond the sea. Back then, operating in Admiralty law, the law of the sea, so lost at sea. The state, London, took custody of everybody and their property into a trust. The state became the trustee, or husband, holding all titles to the people and property. Until a living man comes back to reclaim those titles, he can also claim damages. The Sestakee v. Act, 1666, Chapter 11, 18, and 19, Charter 2. An act for redress of inconveniences by want of proof of the deceases of persons beyond the seas, or absenting themselves, upon whose lives, estates, do depend. Section X1. Recital that Sestakee V's have gone beyond sea, and that reversioners cannot find out whether they are alive or dead. A reversioner is one who possesses the reversion to an estate, the grantor or heir in reversion. Broadly, one who has a lawful interest in land, but not the present possession of it. Black's Law Dictionary, 8th edition, page 4113. Your birth certificate is basically a creation of an estate that the government owns, and the government is the reversioner. Once you die, the estate reverts back to them. The estate, the Sestakee Trust, is created by the Roman cult, so they're the ones that are the reversioners. They have set up all these corporations, so they do it through their corporations. A citizen of the United States is a civilly dead entity operating as a co-trustee and co-beneficiary of the public charitable trust, the constructive Sestakee Trust of U.S. Incorporated, under the 14th Amendment, which upholds the debt of the USA and U.S. Incorporated. Congressional Record, June 13, 1967, pages 15, 641 through 46. They used this Sestakee V. Act to put us into the 14th Amendment, legalized servitude. Amendment 14, passed by Congress June 13th, 1866, ratified July 9th, 1868. Note, Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution was modified by Section 2 of the 14th Amendment. Who created the 14th Amendment and for what purpose? The U.S. Congress, via the 14th Amendment, created a citizen subject status, which gave equal or civil rights, or privilege, to the freed, or enfranchised, slaves, and others who could not qualify to be sovereign citizens. These people could not qualify to be sovereign citizens of the Republic because they are or were not members of the posterity of the one people spoken of in the first paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. Therefore, Congress created a democracy for them. We have a government within a government and a constitution within a constitution, beginning with the 13th Amendment. How can the 14th Amendment citizen subjects, which is a statutory creation of Congress, exercise sovereign powers through elected representatives or in person when Congress created their citizenship? Remember, maxim of law, the created is never greater than the creator. Globally, there is no such thing as a government. They are private corporations using the word government under the color of law. The United States of America is no longer a country. It's a corporation. It has been incorporated since 1871, under the District of Columbia Act of 1871. who would usurp the country and incorporate it to the detriment of its people? Would it be white Christian Americans? Certainly not. If you search members of Congress in the 1800s, you will see many Jewish names. However, you will not likely find any Jewish members during the year this Act of 1871 occurred. Many Jewish politicians changed their names to hide their identity and purpose. How convenient. But you will notice a few prominent Jewish names in our government just before 1871, which include David Levy Yulee, who served 1845 to 1851 and 1855 to 1861, along with Judah P. Benjamin in 1853 to 1861. If you were to look at today's politicians, you will see that most of them are Ashkenazi Jews. Jews are internationalists. They are parasites. They are the ones who infiltrate governments and white Christian societies and destroy them from within. They are the ones implementing, planning, and carrying out all these subtle agendas to keep everybody enslaved. That is why they are the only peoples to be kicked out of countries and governments over 359 times in recorded history. They now own all countries, corporations, media outlets, banks, and militaries. There are no countries left in the world, besides Iran and North Korea, which are not incorporated yet by the Jewish banking system, also known as Mystery Babylon. Which is why the Jews have their world government-run corporations against them and demonizing them in the media and fomenting false flags and wars against these two remaining sovereign countries. Denationalization. The act of changing a government-run firm into a private sector firm. In order to accomplish this transition, the government must either sell or otherwise redistribute the formerly government-run firm in a way that is equitable to citizens. Denationalize. It's defined as to divest of national character or rights by transference to the service of another nation. A ship built and registered in the United States is denationalized by being employed in the service of another nation and bearing its flag. Webster's, 1828. The gold-fringed U.S. military flag with the eagle on top represents maritime jurisdiction. It's a military flag in international law. Basically, they're bringing the law of the sea upon the land in order to operate in accordance with the law of the sea. You must enter upon the ship and enter in the contract with the captain. An aerial photo shows the Miami Federal Courthouse is shaped just like a ship. Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this Union a republican form of government, and shall protect each of them against invasion, and on application of the legislature or of the executive, when the legislature cannot be convened, against domestic violence. This provision, known as the Guarantee Clause, is attributed to James Madison. It has not been widely interpreted, but scholars think it ensures that each state be run as representative democracy, as opposed to a monarchy run by a king or queen, or a dictatorship where one individual or group of individuals controls the government. Courts, however, have been reluctant to specify what exactly a republican form of government means, leaving that decision exclusively to Congress. The section also gives Congress the power and obligation to protect the states from an invasion by a foreign country or from significant violent uprisings within each state. It authorizes the legislature of each state, or the executive, if the legislature cannot be assembled in time, to request federal help with riots or other violence. The yellow fringe on our flag represents no nation and no constitution. A crisis lets them, meaning the Jews, circumvent rules or laws that are protected by constitutional principles so that they break the Constitution by following procedures in the activity of a disguise of helping out in a crisis. The emergency acts often set aside laws, and once a law is set aside for an emergency, it may be left sitting aside. For example, Abraham Lincoln declared martial law during the Civil War. Martial law has not been lifted yet from his declaration of martial law over 100 years ago. This awareness indicates that any time entities in power want to do something that is illegal under the Constitution, they go simply ahead with it under the principle of the martial law declared by Lincoln. This is how the executive orders are presented. They are executive orders based on martial law that has not been lifted. This is also referred to as admiralty law. Thus you have, in one period, a war on poverty. A few years later you have a war on drugs. And there are more and more of these wars occurring every 2 years. Otherwise, martial law would have to be canceled and you would be back under the Constitution.
Yay!
And your freedoms could be restored.
Yay!
You could then plead constitutional rights in courts of law.
Hip hip hooray!
However, at present, the courts of law are following admiralty law, and therefore, if you plead constitutional rights in court, you are not likely to get anywhere.
Aww.
Since March 9th, 1933, the United States has been in a state of declared national emergency. In fact, there are now, in effect, 4 presidentially proclaimed states of national emergency, in addition to the national emergency declared by President Roosevelt in 1933. There are also the national emergency proclaimed by President Truman on December 16, 1950, during the Korean conflict, and the states of national emergency declared by President Nixon on March 23, 1970, and August 15, 1971. Thus, constitutional rights only count when you get up into the Supreme Court. For there is a tendency to continue to use the constitutional law in the Supreme Court because they do not want the people to know that the Constitution has been superseded by admiralty law. This awareness indicates that, therefore, the Supreme Court will often rule if there is a constitutional discrepancy, so that the lower laws are supposed to follow the Constitution, and yet, entering into a court of law, arguing with the Constitution, seldom is beneficial to the entity because they will say the entity is in the wrong jurisdiction in this court. They do not recognize your constitutional law in the jurisdiction of an admiralty setting or court, and therefore they will rule against you. This is the purpose of lawyers. They are clearly aware of their role in the admiralty court, because you are not in the right jurisdiction for such. The judicial system is really to protect the DC corporation. Why should they allow constitutional points of law in their courts when they are actually military courts. This awareness indicates that most entities think the judicial system is there to protect the rights of entities according to the Constitution, the law of the land, the Bill of Rights, and so forth. But they are really there to keep order in society and to protect those who have the power and the money, and to assure that no one disturbs the infrastructure of the corporation being promoted from London, or the state rules, and those that are promoted by the courts as military organizations. The press works for those who promote the New World Order. This awareness indicates the press, of course, works for the people who bring you the New World Order, who bring you the means by which this country will eventually be enslaved, and the press is not going to promote clear and honest reporting of these kinds of issues. There are things from the internet that give some clear reporting. This awareness indicates that, in general, however, most people will only receive what the world planners want them to know, and therefore, they are not likely to get the full story. Governments are corporations. United States Securities and Exchange Commission, USSEC, owned by U.S. Federal Reserve, meaning owned by Jews, formed June 6, 1934. Government branch, independent agency. Headquarters, Washington, D.C. All countries are now corporations under the control of this Jewish banking monetary system. Corporations are controlled by shipping laws. The common law applies to land. A corporation does not come from land, it comes from sea. A corporation is the same as a ship, but they didn't build a ship. It's a trust. The cargo is the people and the assets of the corporation. A corporation is a ship. If you are charged on a ship, you are guilty until proven innocent. On land, an accuser must come up with facts and evidence. On a ship, the accused must come up with facts and evidence. We have a government which people assume is one thing, but in fact is something else. The blueprint of the type of government we have is detailed in Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. They make sure your programming as a child through the Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars is to trick and deceive you into accepting these false governments and false corporations. In this government, you are guilty before proven innocent. We are occupied by foreign governments and corporations on our land. We are under a system of maritime law. All commerce works on water or sea law. All trade works on land law. With your feet on the ground, you can only trade in value and not in commerce. All commerce is crime, and all crime is war. Once you go into the realm of commerce, you are working in the world of the dead. Dead is also spelt debt, D-E-B-T. The resonance of debt is equal to sin or equal to death. You can't owe anybody anything unless you've agreed to it. Phonetically, the word dead sounds similar to the word debt. A word that has a strong connection to the words dead and debt is mortgage. When you pay a mortgage, a debt, or dead, you basically commit sin. If you want evidence of this, go to Merriam-Webster.com and search for the definition of debt, and you should see the word sin as one of its definitions. The word sin originated from Old English sin, S-Y-N-N, meaning moral wrongdoing, injury, mischief, enmity, feud, guilt, crime, offense against God, misdeed. The reason why you commit sin when you pay a debt is because you basically help the dark forces to enslave the human race. The debt system is controlled by the dark forces, and they are using it to drain the energy of humanity and harm nature. Using the debt system to harm living beings and nature is against natural law, God's law. Maybe this is why the Bible verse Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Sin is debt, dead, death. Revelation 18:4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." The word mortgage, mortgage, originated from two old French words, which are mort and gage. In old French, mort means dead, and gage means pledge. Webster's defines the word pledge using these exact words, a surety, a hostage. The word hostage is a person held by one party in a conflict as a pledge pending the fulfillment of an agreement, or a person taken by force to secure the taker's demands. To connect the dots, when you take out a mortgage, you unknowingly make a pledge or promise to the dead, and therefore you agree to be a hostage of the dead. A corporation is a corporation or corpse-o-ration. The plural form of the word corporation can be written as corpse. Phonetically, the word corpse sounds similar to the word corpse with an E, which is defined as a dead body, usually of a human being. The legal system sees you as a corpse to be used as a ration to feed the artificial matrix of the dark forces. The word mortgage also has a strong connection to the words morgue and mortuary. This is why the place where dead bodies are stored is called a morgue. Mortgages are created in a way that makes them hard to pay off, so that when people get a mortgage, a pledge to the dead, they have to work most of their lives to pay it off. This allows the debt-based monetary system to drain their energy to charge the dead with currency, the currency that people make from many hours of working at a corporation, a dead body. There is no law. There is only commerce, and only commerce in contract, and there is only contract by consent. If there is law, there's consent law. On land and on trade, we trade in value. In commerce, you're trading in contracts. No commerce can take place without consent. This is where the deception comes in initially with the birth certificates. If the parents only knew they were selling their babies to corporations, no corporation can force you to have contractual dealings with it unless you consent. But they can deceive you. This is done by words on paper and the way they write your name. The surname is not really a surname. This is a deception. The surname is the serf name, the slave name. Serf, S-E-R-F, is a servant or a slave employed in husbandry, and in some countries, attached to the soil and transferred with it. Royalty uses their own names and not surnames. Queen Elizabeth who? Prince Harry who? They don't use their surnames because they understand the system. In commerce, the surname represents the debtor. The serf name is a serpent's name or a surety name. There is no such thing as the surname. Your last name is simply your tribe or clan name, the house you are born of. You have a legal name and a Christian name. The legal name, John Paul Smith, John P. Smith, Smith, John P., Sestake Trust, estate, U.S. citizen, property, slave. These are all created by the system. The Christian name, John Paul, house, clan, or family of Smith. The difference is in the grammar. The legal name is in all caps with no hyphens. The Christian name is written differently. It matters how we write and use our names. By claiming back your Christianity, you claim back your Christian name. This is where you are reborn or returned to your Christian standing. Your Christian name is your baby name and has nothing to do with religion. Christianity is not a religion. It's a heritage of the white race. All the denominations are religions. There are over 33,000 so-called Christian religions, which are called by another name and call upon other gods. Religion means to tie again. It's a bond, to bond again. These bonds also get created through baptism certificates or records in family Bibles. Bibles are copyrighted. They are somebody's version of a particular document that you are bonding yourself to. If you are bonding yourself to the King James Version, or to church doctrine, or to Jewish Jesus, then you are bonding with death. Corporation comes from the word quote, which means it's dead. There is no jurisdiction between the living and the dead, unless you are consenting to go to a summons. The summons is a calling up of the dead. There is a grammatical deception that deceives you into falling from the office of creditor into the lowest standing, the office of the debtor, to a foreign private criminal administrative banking system, legally dead. The deception? Dog Latin. The greatest deception concept ever perpetrated against living man in modern known history. Justinian killed man without anyone ever knowing that they were all legally dead, sacrificed at birth, dumped into the sea of commercial paper, in order to be salvaged by the Roman Empire before they were ever aware that they were assumed dead, lost at sea, and never likely to return. Justinian, the Emperor of Rome, and his legal team of Jews, between 530 and 560 AD, created a governmental masterpiece of modern-day deception in order to deceive the public into falling into the private military contracts of the Roman Empire under the direct control of the Vatican in order to forego true justice. We have been taught by the state schools to act as the debtor and inside a corporate ship of a corporation. So we are actually working as trustees or account holders of a bank. That bank we're working with is a foreign bank. It's the United States Federal Reserve. Corporations are ships. This bank derives from the water. It doesn't have a home base or a land that we can go and seize or take. And then the corporation ship doesn't even have a ship that it can take. So when you finally worked it out to go and seize anything to try and get all your money back that you've lost, you've got nowhere to go because it's just water. It's translucent. It's nothing. It's water law. We have become a part or a crew member on their corporate ships, and that's what birth certificates are all about. It's a certificate of you birthing onto one of their ships. The date of birth is the date when a person, they say, is born. But a person doesn't exist until it becomes an incorporation. So persons are corporations. A man joined to something. That's when the incorporation happens. The minute you become incorporated with something, or join a ship, or join a foreign entity, then you legally become the person, and persons are controlled by the Vatican because the Vatican controls all of the incorporated or corruptions in the world. Webster's Dictionary, 1828, defines person as a Latin word signifying primarily a mask used by actors on the state. The birth certificate gives you two choices, to be the debtor, or the surname, or the surety, or the Christian trust. And in the date of registration, it gives you two choices. What we've got to learn is how to become good ecclesiastical Christians, not meaning the ones that go to church and claim they're saved and worship a Jewish Jesus, but the Christian that acts as the beneficiary and director of this bank. When a man attaches himself to some foreign ship and winds up being deemed lost at sea and never likely to return, whoever offered you the legal title to put you on another ship has the right to your equity if you don't come back. They just wait for you not to return. The reason why you can't return back onto land is because the name that they gave you, the surname, is the name you thought and assumed and believed was your name, actually belongs to them. Christ said, "Through my name and deed only shall you be saved." Your name is the Christian name, the first and middle. And the deed is the date you are saved, or come to true knowledge and understanding, and walk in it. When you worship or accept the foreign name of the ship that's dry docked onto your land, then you are not with Christ. When you learn how to become the Christian, which is the beneficiary and director of the trust, then this trust, or fraud, can remain in play, but you become the director and the overseer of this fraud. You become in charge of this fraud, taking it and keeping it under control. We are the ones that are making the mistakes all the time. We are the ones that gave the rights for this bank, the land, the right to take it from our sovereign trust. And we are the ones that didn't know our name and accepted to act as the trustee and account holder and pay back the loans plus all the interest. Deuteronomy 23:19. Do not lend at interest to your brother, interest of silver, interest of food, or interest of whatever is lent at interest. An idiot is one who doesn't know their own nativity and don't know where they come from. If you were asked for your name and date of birth, you will state your full name, John Paul Smith, and the date of birth, which is the born date, and there is no such name. You still become lost at sea, and in law this corporation just salvages you, throws you on board, and you become a crew member of the ship, and from that point, you will do as you are told. The surname was connected to your Christian name by somebody else. There is the entrapment through the birth certificate fraud. The surname is something that you've accepted by contract or by deception and started to use it. When we came into this world, we didn't have a name. The name is given to us when we are born. When we die, we do not take that name with us. When a baby is born, it is life born, not birthed. Birthing is a shipping terminology, another deception. Is birth B-I-R-T-H or B-E-R-T-H? Birth, E-R-T-H, is maritime, and birth, I-R-T-H, refers to a child leaving its mother's surrogacy. Birth, E-R-T-H, docked, moored, anchored. All these terms refer to a vessel which is secured in a more or less fixed position, connected to the dock. The date of birth is when the name got registered, given out to the system and recorded. We should be using the term born. In the hospital is where forms are filled, blood samples, vaccinations, etc. Hospital records get created into a bond and then sold to government entities. Maternal hospitals are foundling hospitals, a place where abandoned goods go to be discarded at which others can take ownership. The child is life born and taken by the doctor, the guy that works for a shipping company. He takes the baby and lifts it up so it can't touch land and puts it into maritime, and therefore it becomes abandoned goods to separate it from the mother and given back to the mother so there is no bond. A maternity ward is a prison ward of the state. The hospital record is monetized, bought and sold, and is traded upon. Anything registered is not yours anymore. You are just the holder and not the owner. Once the name is put on a document, it now has a separate life. The term document means you are docked. You are floating in spaces in an empty vessel. In shipping terms and in maritime law, it simply means which dock you meant. Which dock did you mean? The birth certificate has a stock number, which means it is tradable. How can your identity be on a piece of paper? It can't. Here I am. I am my identity. The birth certificate is the one created by the hospital. Baby born time, weight, etc. The birth certificate is the one where the birth is registered, the name is recorded. The hospital record is the internal one just for the medical details of when the baby was born. This document has been monetized. The other one, the birth registration, is converted into a different trust, usually the government one. When your birth certificate is recorded 3 days after your birth, your corporate entity is established. The 3 days represents the days Christ was in the earth. The parents give the government permission to handle all your commercial affairs and pay all your debts, and in return you receive benefits, education, medical treatment, a driver's license, etc. The government owns the corporate entity, the corporate trust attached to your birth certificate that was created 3 days after you were born. Born again? Yes. Into slavery. The birth bond has been monetized by the hospital and sold, and that's where the money comes from. So that baby has been taken into possession, placed into maritime, converted into an asset that has been traded on the stock exchange globally, and that is where the money comes from. For the rest of their life, they are monetized and enslaved by an agreement made between the hospital and the parents. All done by deception. The hospital is a ship, a dock, and a dry vessel belonging to an international private organization as a family hospital for abandoned goods. We've been captured in maritime since birth. And we are still floating as a vessel in maritime in open waters, lost forever, until we claim back our standing on the land and our status as men and women and claim back the Christian side through the name and our global estate, which is our inheritance. Every document with the surname on it is just another account created that has been monetized and can be traded on. Every single thing you have applied for, or written, or signed with your surname has been monetized. Anywhere your signature appears has been monetized and traded upon. I've put a link on the paper where you can enter your Social Security number on this website and see for yourself all the liens against you and how you are traded internationally. My 90-year-old Nana has over 8,000 liens against her. The word signature refers to a sign of nature. That's not you. It's a similarity or a simulation of your nature. Your autograph is a graph of your autonomy. Until you've learned what your name really is and how to write it correctly, you have never been addressed by anybody correctly since you've been born. If you don't claim your life, someone else will. The format in which your name is written is critical to identifying who that person is. The English language is the language of the occult, that which is hidden. The English language has been developed as a language of enslavement, supposedly developed by Freemasonry. It's the language of spelling, of casting spells. Anything you write on paper using words is the casting of spells. You cannot write the word without spelling it correctly. It's called cursing. For example, on a computer screen, the cursor is used to cast spells into the system. The surname is connected to your Christian name by somebody else. There is the entrapment through the birth certificate fraud. The surname is something that you accepted by contract or deception and started to use it. Why do they ask us to do that? When we give away the information, it becomes contractual because we put the name into a form. The surname is the debtor in all situations. When you stop using the surname, you get out of commerce and back into being a creditor in your life. The copyright symbol, the C inside a circle, means it is the property of the crown. You don't own the copyright. It's the crown copyright symbol by international maritime copyright law. You would need to create the copyright yourself. Write in handwriting properly with correct grammar and sentence structure. Copyright, copy claim, and whatever you've done, and your autograph there. And now you own the copyright. Your autograph is the graph of your authority. Cursive writing is maritime, which is current or flowing. Cursive means it's cursed. We've all gone through government training when we've learned cursive writing. It's a racket. Racketeering is a crime. A racket is a planned or organized criminal act, usually in which the criminal act is a form of business or a way to earn illegally or extorted money regularly or briefly but repeatedly. A racket is often a repeated or continuous criminal operation. Racketeering, traditionally obtaining or extorting money illegally or carrying on illegal business activities, usually by organized crime. A pattern of illegal activity carried out as part of an enterprise that is owned or controlled by those who are engaged in the illegal activity. When you sign your name, you usually see an X. X stands for Christ. The legal definition of X, a mark used in indicating a choice or applicable item, as on an insurance form. Could this be the mark of the beast? Choosing the legal name over the Christian name? Choosing to give up your dominion and standing with Christ? Joining with another deity? Becoming incorporated with another god? Other definitions, synonyms, and meanings of the cross, or the X. Dead. Lying. Falling, to go from one side of something to the other, cold-blooded, hybrid, mixed, mongrel, backstab, betray, sellout, to lie or be athwart each other, to run counter to or oppose, to deny the validity of, contradict, ordeal, trial, fire, gauntlet, a security transaction in which a broker acts for both buyer and seller, as in the placing of a large lot of common stock. Called also cross trade, a fraudulent or dishonest contest, an act of crossing dissimilar individuals, the intersection of two ways or lines, a badge, emblem, or decoration. What we grant is our dominion, our sovereignty, our God-given birthright, up to an administrator. That administrator then administers it, and the administrator appoints trustees, and it gives us the choice of being the grantor to the director of the trust. But when it appoints the trustee, if we jump from the grantor and agree to be on the ship, we lose the ability to direct a trust, and we become the trustees, which are the ones that have to operate the trust. But we don't operate, or we don't direct it, or in a lot of cases, we don't even get it back.